Nicole.
You are listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
And we're back. We're live. Next show. Next up on News for the Soul Radio is The Awakened Healer, one of our newer shows. Carrie Nola is the host. Let's bring her on to reintroduce herself, her show, and what's up for today. Carrie, welcome back.
Hey, Nicole. Thank you. I'm feeling calmer with the technology today. How are things flowing with the shows today?
So far, so good. Yay.
Fingers crossed, because I have a special guest today that I would like to introduce our listeners to. Welcome back if you've been to the show before, and welcome if you're just checking us out. We are talking about high vibration practices for healers that really want to upgrade their confidence, their clarity, and their skills when it comes to bringing their work to life in the world. And today we're going to be talking about mature manifestation methods. And I say mature because I think sometimes manifestation gets a bad rap, especially in the 3D consciousness world. And there's a reason for that, because sometimes there are nuances to the practice and process of manifestation that get left out of the process of discussion. And so today I'm going to introduce you to my best friend and business partner, Lloyd Burnett. Nicole, can you bring Lloyd on the line for us?
I think I'm here. Can you hear me?
There you are. Hey, Lloyd.
I'm here.
Welcome to the Awakened Healer Show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. Now, I invited Lloyd for this conversation because he's known as a lot of things, but one of my favorite things that we call you, Lloyd, is the business shaman. And I think it's so true. You have figured out how to bring a very grounded and powerful perspective to spiritual practices and processes that help us bring our visions to life in the physical realm. Because as you know, and as we know, working with healers, all over the world, the problem is the same. There's nothing more frustrating than having a skill or a gift and feeling paralyzed to bring it into the real world, right?
Yeah. Amen. Yes, it's so true. And I remember the first time that I heard that term business shaman, and I think it was Shante, another friend who called me that. It was Shante, right? Are we giving her credit for this?
I don't remember, honestly, but it was damn good. And if we want to give it to Shante, let's let her have it. She's a powerful medicine woman, so it wouldn't surprise me, but I don't remember.
She really is. Yeah, I believe it was her. And I remember feeling some resistance when she first said it. But now it just makes perfect sense. It's exactly like you said, there's a lot of frustration that happens when we know that we have a gift and we know that we want to birth it into the world, but we don't quite understand the human element of birthing this gift that is pure light onto the planet in a way that can be seen, touched, felt, and experienced by the people who are here to experience our gift. And so this whole idea of a business shaman has really, really taken me on a path of helping people birth light into physical form to support the evolution of this planet.
And we need that more than ever right now. If anyone has turned on the news or looked at their Facebook feed or opened a newspaper, we see the pain that humanity is in right now as we move through this process of rebirth. And from down here on the ground in the earth realm, we feel that pain and we're witnessing that pain and experiencing it. And from a higher dimensional perspective, we know that this is what the rebirth often looks like. It's messy and it's uncomfortable. And we hope to shine a bit of light on how you can continue to stay the course and opening those doors, opening that portal to bring your gifts to light. So if you're listening and you're somebody who already has healing gifts that you're being paid to share and use, or you're somebody who is secretly longing to bring your gifts to life, then you know, this conversation is going to be for you. And I want to give a special shout out today to one of our listeners, one of my biggest fans, my dad, Ken. He's listening today, I'm sure. And I say that because he gave me and you a name, Lloyd, the first time we ever did something together. When I published my first book back in 2012, I had just met Lloyd, and I asked him to come on a teleseries I was doing to talk about authenticity. And it was the first thing we ever did together. We didn't know what our synergy would be. We barely knew each other at the time. We were introduced through a mutual friend who thought that there might be some resonance between our ideas, and yes, he was very right about that. And after that show, my dad said, "Wow, you two are like peanut butter and jelly."
Exactly.
And I thought, wow, maybe that's where I get my intuition from, because that was a pretty, pretty aware and intuitive hunch that my dad had. And here we are like 8 years later, and our work when we come together, Lloyd, is just pure alchemy. Like, the wisdom that streams through me and the wisdom that streams through you. And then there's like this third thing that happens when we bring that to fruition.
Amen. And I also want to validate your dad's intuition as well, because peanut butter and jelly is my favorite food on this planet. And he knew exactly what to call it, because I think that that is just like the perfect synergy ever. The nice creamy smoothness of peanut butter with the sweet tanginess of jelly. That's us. That's us. Peanut butter and jelly.
Which one's me and which one's you? Are you the peanut butter and I'm
more
the jelly? Because when you said sweet, I thought that was me.
Exactly. I'm smooth. You're sweet.
I love it. All right. Well, enough of our banter. I'm sure everyone is listening and chuckling along, or I hope you are. But let's get into the juice of today. So I want to invite everybody to take a nice breath with us here, because this is a practice of embodiment. This is a transmission that you will receive. It's not about what you're hearing in your mind, but it's about what you're integrating through your heart and into yourself. So let's go ahead and take a nice inhale together. Just breathing in parts of us that have gotten disconnected and cut off as we have felt our feels and or ignored them. With every inhale, just bringing more and more of your essence into your body. And with every exhale, just imagining yourself releasing and detoxing all that is ready to release and let go. And this is a practice that you can meet yourself in several times a day, inhaling to call back parts of your essence that have disconnected, and exhaling to detox and release things that are ready to be let go. And we're in full moon energy right now. We've got the full moon, I believe, tomorrow. And so this is really about birthing. So I love the timing of this conversation with that. So Lloyd, I know we're going to go back and forth here. And another thing about me and Lloyd is this is completely impromptu. We haven't planned anything other than this title that came through when we were hanging out over the weekend. And when you mature manifestation, like, how would you define that, Lloyd? What would you like listeners to know about that? And before you answer, I also want to let listeners know that I feel like we're going to make time for a few calls or questions. So free to call in, and we'll check in with Nicole periodically if we can ever be quiet, because once me and Lloyd get going, it can be a bit fast moving. All right. So mature manifestation, Lloyd. And I love that because it's mature manifestation, but your practice is actually, you have a process called awake manifestation, which is a part of mature manifestation. So help us like peel this apart. What is mature manifestation?
So mature manifestation is a phase of evolution. It's when we leave the stage of kind of magical, fantastic, almost in a sense infantile way of looking at the law of attraction and creating our reality. And that is not in any way making that stage negative. It's a necessary stage that we all must go through. We must be magical thinkers. When we're children, up until whatever age we're ready to move into a more mature stage, we have to go through that magical thinking stage. So it's not that the magical manifestation is bad and the mature manifestation is right. It's just they are, they just are what they are. So mature manifestation is the phase when you realize that there's more to creating your reality than just, I want this, so I'm going to speak it into existence, and I'm going to be grateful, and I'm going to be good, and I'm going to sit, and I'm going to wait until the cosmic catalog of the universe prints out my order and sends it to me. And this is not saying that that is not a way of manifesting. It totally is. But there comes a phase, there comes a time in our life when we're ready to manifest from a different place, from a more mature place. And this mature manifestation, it's all about, first of all, tapping into our truest desires, our heart's truest desires that are not only our heart's truest desires, but they're aligned with the truest desires of those around us and of the universe. It's a form of manifestation that not only takes into account us and takes into account our heart and takes into account our ego, it also takes into account the people around us. It takes into account our family, our loved ones, strangers, all sentient beings, the universe, and all of the cosmos. And so it's a win-win-win situation for everybody. So it's the truest desire of our heart that is aligned with the truest desire of all of humanity and all of the cosmos. And to get to this truest desire, this deepest desire, there's some work that we have to do. We have to unpack things that we've been taught. We have to unpack a lot of socialization. We have to unpack a lot of traumas, a lot of fears, a lot of experiences that we have had that have disconnected us from the alignment that we have with all of humanity and with the cosmos, because we can't maturely manifest if we can't feel the alignment. And we can't feel the alignment unless we unpack everything that's on top of that alignment. So when we're done with the magical manifestation and we're ready to do the mature manifestation, it really takes a mature being to do this, because you have to be willing to unpack some things that don't typically lead to the most comfortable, happy-go-lucky feelings that you're ever going to experience in your life. You're going to go through the dark night of the soul. You're going to graduate from that, and then you're going to be constantly unpacking information, socialization, conditioning that has been on top of, that has been laid on top of your connection to humanity and your connection to the cosmos. And that is the part that keeps most people from stepping into this mature manifestation, because they want to stay in everything that feels good. And it feels good on a superficial kind of human physical level. Dopamine, serotonin, adrenaline, our human body feels great with this manifestation from a magical place. But when we tap into this mature manifestation, we experience that physical high, but we also experience the high of nothingness, the high of being a part of everything and nothing at the same time, which a sensation that's very hard to encapsulate in words. It's an experience that we have that once you have it, you can't unhave it. You can't unfeel it. You can't unlearn it. And it becomes a driving force for your manifestation because it's a force for your good. It's a force for the good of humanity, and it's a force for the good of all of the evolution of the universe. So I know I hear you.
All right,
I hear
Lloyd.
You and over there, and there's some stuff you want to dive into. So go.
This is a lot to digest. There's so much goodness in here. You'll get to know me and Lloyd as you hear us. We fight for the mic because we're both so passionate and excited. Yeah, wow.
Why I don't take a breath when I'm talking. I don't take a breath because if I do, Carrie will jump in. She will take the mic.
You know I will. I'm happy to share the stage with you. This is good stuff. You know, some of my favorite, there's so much goodness in there, but one of the things that I really love is the me, the we, and the us. You know, I don't know that you said it that way, but that's really what I hear. You know, we start from a very me, egocentric perspective of everything in life. You know, what I want, what's good for me. If you think of like a child, it's like, mine, mine, mine when you're 2 years old, right? But then there gets to a point where you realize there's more than you, okay? And then we have the we. And then there's like what's the best for the other person and then what's the best for us? And like what would love and truth have us do in this moment? So a lot of times, you know, what I'm hearing you say, Lloyd, is we start manifesting from that me place of what do I want? And that might not be what the universe and your soul has in store for you. It may be lovely to have that car or that house. And this isn't to say that that's not for you or that's not an okay or right desire. It's just as we mature in this practice and process, we realize there's something far more satisfying. And that is when we're aligned with the we and with the us. It's like, you know, you thought all there was in kindergarten was, you know, coloring inside the lines or something or learning that. And then as you go on, you realize, oh, there's also math and there's not just addition, but there's division and multiplication and geometry. There's like a maturation process. And I really love, like, because I'm guessing that people that are listening here, they have moved beyond that ego state and they want to understand how this works. And why the things that they used to do to manifest may not be working anymore. And it could be because you're fine-tuning this practice. And I would love to talk about what that sounds like. So maybe at the more egoic, you know, magical stages of manifestation, we're doing practices like ask, believe, receive, which, yes, that is true. However, if we're asking from the ego, and we're pretending we believe, but we don't actually, right? Then we can be stunting the process. And I know that you teach and understand, like me, the deep healing work, how fear is a part of the manifestation practice. So I'm going to be
of
quiet
course.
Now I feel you edging in here. Come on in.
There, Carrie, I love how you frame that, the me, the we, the us, and that is a big part of the evolution. And another big part of the evolution of this magical manifestation is that a lot of these things that we want to manifest from a place of magic is actually to hide from some of the wounds that we have experienced in our life. So we manifest a lot of these things from a magical place to hide from fear or to cope or to ease the pain. And that
Can you
is
give an example?
I want a new car, you know. And many times people, they want a new car because they don't feel good enough as the person that they are, and they need a car for someone to look at them and be like, oh my God, they got a lot of money. That's a good person. They hard working. They are a good person because of that Tesla, you know? So it's, you find your worth in the things that you want to manifest, and you use the things that you want to manifest to hide your wounds because it's too painful to work on those wounds. And it's not the time to work on those wounds. So it's not that it's bad that you're manifesting these things to distract from your wounds. The wounds aren't ripe yet. It's not your time to go into that. But when it is your time to go into that, guess what? You're going to ask for the Tesla, and the Tesla ain't going to show up, because to work on before you can access what your heart's deepest desire for you, for humanity, and for the cosmos is. And so that Tesla is just going to distract you from that deeper alignment. And there's a really painful kind of transition area when we're stepping from the magical into the mature, where we still want what we want. And as we're not getting what we want, these wounds begin to come to the surface, and they actually get amplified because we start to think, oh, I'm not getting what I want because of these wounds, because I'm a bad person. That's why the universe isn't giving me what I want. And so these wounds get bigger, 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 and they get bigger for us. The fear gets bigger for us. The ouches, the hurts, the pains, they get bigger for us so that they can explode, and we can be like, oh, my God, all right, now I see what was under all of those wounds. Now I see what I'm truly connected to. Now I see who I truly am and my true power. So it can be, I can't remember what the initial, was there an initial question, Kerry?
I don't remember now. I think I was just, I don't remember.
Yeah. Okay. I think we just flowing. I got a little nervous because I thought that you asked the question and I completely just hijacked the question and started talking about whatever I wanted to talk about. So
that wouldn't be unusual, but I think you got where you needed to get.
What are you talking about? Exactly. So
I have a question from these questions. I would love to make this practical because I know that we understand these processes and we're living them. And for our listeners, what is one of those questions or statements that you're so good at formulating that would help someone drop into relationship with where their manifestation desire is coming from? And I have an idea of one, and I know that we both use this, but it's like, you know, if I wasn't afraid and I knew that I would get what I wanted, what would I be, what would I let myself long for? What would I let myself have? What would I let myself welcome? So I invite you to feel and think into that right now. Mm-hmm. Write that down as a potential journal prompt. And this isn't something we do one time. This is something we work with over and over and over again, because a lot of times if we never relate to our fear, like Lloyd's talking about, we can be manifesting desires that are just trying to keep us safe or protected from a deeper pain or awareness that's actually trying to come to the surface to heal. Mm-hmm. It's like a beach ball. We just keep pushing down under the water until our arms get so tired that it just kind of explodes up out of the water and, you know, flies away. So if I wasn't afraid and I knew that I would get what I want, I would still be loved and cared for and belong. What is it that I deeply desire? What is most aligned for me and my path right now? And this can be in a relationship. It can be in relation to your purpose, to your finances. We have to let ourselves long for what we desire, which I think is another part of the mature manifestation, because magical manifestation says, I want it now. Give it to me now. But mature manifestation understands that there is our timing and there's a greater timing that could actually be more satisfying, more fulfilling, and more aligned and perfect than what we could ever align for ourselves.
I love that, Kerry. And it even goes with the name mature manifestation. When you are setting an intention from a place of mature manifestation, typically you still have to mature to get to the place to be able to receive what you desire. And so that is why there's that process of longing. There's a bit of a gap so that you you can get to where your soul needs you to be to actually receive what it is that you want to receive. And I love that question that you pose, because it helps us weed through the superficial desires and really get to the deep desire that's underneath, that is more aligned with who we are at our core, and more aligned with the deep intentions of humanity and the cosmos. And what I like to do to make this even more practical is I do a lot of different boards in my practice. And you have your vision board that everybody knows about, you know, where you put the pictures of things that you want to experience. And then more aligned with your question, Carrie, is a feeling board. So you take all of the things that may be on the surface level that you want to manifest, and then you explore, what is the feeling that I want to experience by having this thing? So you get to the deeper thing that you actually want, because, you know, yeah, your mind may want the Tesla, but the feeling that you want is a feeling of belonging, a feeling of connection, a feeling of being worthy. And so when you connect to that real feeling, then what I like to do with that board is actually schedule in things into my calendar that give me that feeling that I have more readily accessible to me. So I feel more connection and belonging when I'm hanging out with Carrie. So I'll schedule in things into my calendar to do my part in the mature manifestation, because mature manifestation is also co-creative. So we have to do our part in the co-creative cha-cha-cha of mature manifestation. So you find the feeling that you want to have, and then another board that you can do to kind of dive deeper into mature manifestation is a fear board. And you can ask yourself questions like, what am I afraid will happen if I don't receive my intention? What am I afraid will happen if I do receive my intention? And make a board that is dedicated to all of those fears. Find images, words, symbols that represent those fears, and give that fear board a prominent place, just like you would give your vision board, because mature manifestation is honoring of all parts of you. It's honoring of all parts of humanity, and it's honoring of all parts of the cosmos. And it gives that space to the things that that magical manifestation typically relegates to the side, because those are the dangerous things that you don't want to look at. You'll manifest those things if you focus on those things. They'll keep you from what you want to manifest if you focus on that. Mature manifestation understands that everything is for us, and everything has value, and everything is to be honored.
Okay. Okay, hold on 1 second. I was just getting a message from Nicole, but it looks like we're okay. All right.
Okay.
Lloyd, I want you to talk more about that, because I think that is one of the most common myths of manifestation, and that is that if you talk about anything negative or have any feelings other than utter bliss and joy, that
mm-hmm.
you're not going to be able to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a myth, and that hasn't been our reality or truth, and thank goodness, because as human beings,
exactly.
we have other feelings and experiences than joy and bliss. So can you speak to, that myth?
Yeah, the technical term is unicorn farts and glitter manifestation that you're talking about right now.
One of our favorite terms, the technical term.
Exactly, to avoid stepping into the trap of unicorn farts and glitter manifestation, it takes honoring all parts of you and all parts of your experience. And I believe that there is a part of the path where when you focus your attention on negative things, you do bring those negative things into your reality. Where the misconception is that that is a bad thing or that is the wrong thing, because everything that you bring into your reality is something that is unfolding for you to take your next step, unfolding for you to continue evolving into the person that you need to be to begin manifesting your heart's deepest desires. So I encourage my clients and I invite all of the listeners to focus on the negative things, because There's actually a researcher, I can't remember her name right now. She's done some amazing research on the power of positivity. She has a book called The Power of Positivity. And she's done some research, and I'm going to paraphrase this and hopefully not butcher it too much, but I'm going to give you the gist. And it's basically that people who focus solely on the positive elements of their intentions are less likely to receive what they want than those who are willing to focus on the resistance and the obstacles of their intentions. And one of the reasonings behind this is that when you allow yourself to focus on the resistance or obstacles to your intentions, your brain is an incredibly powerful computing machine. And so what you do is give your brain a problem to resolve. And that's what brains do the best. They're constantly monitoring the body to see if there's anything in the body or outside of the body that needs to be tweaked, adjusted, or shifted to experience homeostasis, to experience your optimal experience. So when you actually look at the resistance or the obstacles to receiving your intention, you give your brain something to work on. And when you come up against those resistance and obstacles, because let's face facts, we're human beings, and we're always going to experience resistance and obstacles. It's just human nature. So when you come up against those obstacles and those resistances, your brain has already worked out neural pathways on how to resolve that resistance or that obstacle in the most effective and efficient way. And the perfect example of this is Michael Phelps, the multi-gold medal Olympic swimmer. In one of his races, it was in Beijing, he dived into the water, did his race, won the race, and as soon as the race ended, he came out of the water, he started screaming and yelling, and everybody's like, why are you screaming and yelling? You just won the race. And he's just like, oh, but my goggles filled up with water as soon as I got into the water, and I couldn't see, and I had to finish the race without seeing. And his coach asked him, he was like, you know, I don't understand, how can your goggles fill up with water and you can still crush the world record and win the gold medal? And Michael Phelps revealed that not only does he do positive intention visualization, but he also envisions all of the possible obstacles and resistances that can come up. So his brain was trained and knew exactly what to do, because he had rehearsed it before, what to do if his goggles filled up with water and how to continue going to achieve his intention. So there are a lot of benefits that are scientific and not so scientific that can be achieved through focusing on the negative as well as the positive.
That just feels such a relief to my system. And that's definitely been my reality as too. So much of my work, if you've listened to the show before, is shadow work. And the shadow is illuminating the things that are hiding in the dark. You know, if something's hiding in the dark, then we don't have a relationship with it, and it can sneak out and be operating behind the scenes in our life in a way that isn't supportive to where we want to go and the things that we want to be experiencing. And so manifestation is very much like that. You can think. I just worked on this with a client the other day, and it really speaks to this. You know, one of my clients is like, I'm ready to make more money and I want to help more people, but there was like, it wasn't happening. So just her wanting to do that wasn't enough. It wasn't working. It wasn't translating into that happening in her reality. And when we dove in to that experience. And I said, can you find any part of you that doesn't want to do that, that doesn't want to make more money, that doesn't want to help more people? And she said, oh my gosh, yeah, I did never feel that before. And I'm like, awesome. That's the part we need to work with. Not necessarily the part of you that's okay having that, because that part doesn't need the healing. She's already ready. But you've got to get with the parts of you that aren't ready to have or to be or to do the thing that you're wanting to come to fruition, because they're the ones that need the help and the guidance. Otherwise, it's the weakest link or the most unconscious link in the system that will hold back. Like, that's as far as you can get, is according
to
that part.
You mean to tell me that there's a part of me that doesn't want $1 million or that doesn't want deep love?
If you don't have it, I would say it's either not aligned at the higher level, or yes, there is an internal resistance to that. And doesn't that sound crazy? I'm so glad that you brought that in.
Uh-huh.
Lloyd. Like, wait, what? Because we're even resistant to the fact that these parts of us exist. Could sound ridiculous. What do you mean I don't want my partner? What do you mean I don't want to be healthy? What do you mean I don't want to share my gifts with the world? But that's part of our human experience, is relating to resistance, relating to polarity and opposites. And so that's another question. If we continue making this practical and real in your life, think of and feel the thing that you've been desiring that you just can't wrap your hands around. It's not showing up, whatever that might be. And can you close your eyes and take a breath and meet a part of you that is scared of that showing up? What would it mean if I made more money? You know, one of the scariest things about having more money is people wanting it. You know, people wanting it. You would have to set boundaries maybe with your family, or you would have to experience the judgment of people thinking that you're greedy or that you're not sharing your gifts freely or, you know, without attachment or something. So these things come up. And are you willing to look at them and face them? This is the mature manifestation that involves the healing. And yeah, it's holistic, right? I love that example you gave of Michael Phelps. It's like he didn't just, well, the thing is he was practicing for the win, but he didn't just do it by visualizing the win. He did it also by visualizing the obstacles and training his system to be confident and comfortable reacting in that. And I may have done this on the show before. You've heard me do it a million times, Lloyd, but the brain and body doesn't know the difference between thinking about doing something and actually doing something. So a perfect way of feeling into that reality is, I want you to imagine right now that you're biting into a ripe, bright, juicy lemon. And feel what happens to your face and your mouth. Like, I start getting this sour sensation in like my cheeks and my nose kind of scrunched a little bit. You're not actually biting into a lemon right now, but thinking about it is enough. So thinking about having what we want is enough to get our body prepared to calibrate to that level of receiving. And also thinking about what it's like to live life without that gets us prepared to, you know, feel into that and feel what parts of us need our help in order to welcome it.
Yeah, exactly. And it stokes the fire within for us to go out and get it. It adds fuel to our desire. Our desire has to be strong. In mature manifestation, your desire has to be strong to attract what you want to attract, because you have to participate. It's not a passive form of manifestation where you're waiting to receive. You realize that you and the universe are one. And so you're co-creating. And it's difficult for a lot of people to own their mature manifesting capabilities, because it requires using your voice. It requires being seen and being heard. It requires asking for what you want, not just in the quiet of your bedroom to the universe that doesn't judge you. It requires asking for what you want out in the open, and opening up yourself to all of the potential rejection criticism, judgment that is inevitable because it's part of the human experience. And so mature manifestation, that's one of the reasons why we don't receive everything that we want to receive as fast as we want to receive it, because we have to prepare for what it takes to receive it and for what happens when we actually receive it. It's like what Carrie was talking about with the money. When you manifest money, people come around. People come out the woodwork. It's like you have cousins that you've never even heard of that all of a sudden, you know, want to be your best friends. And so it's there's maybe you'll manifest, you know, $10 instead of $10 million because there's some work that you have to do around boundary setting before you can manifest the extra zeros. And the universe is so loving. It loves you so much. You love you so much that you're not going to give yourself more than you can handle before the appropriate time that you can actually handle it.
Absolutely. It really is beautiful to feel that. It's like, as antsy as we are to have what we want, I think there's also a part of us that can really get off, so to speak, on not having what we want. It's almost like this game that we play with us, play with ourselves. A wonderful book on this for those of you who feel inclined to read more about like the shadows of manifesting and working through those wounds. It's called Existential Kink, Unmask Your Shadow and Embrace Your Power by Dr. Carolyn Elliott. She's written a beautiful piece on exactly this. It's like how we feel those elements of us that actually don't want or aren't ready for what we want. We have to trust ourselves deeply and completely to let ourselves have what we want. Oftentimes we don't feel worthy of it, or we don't know what version, we haven't yet met the version of us that has that. I'm sure that you've heard of people winning the lottery or getting a windfall of money from, you know, an inheritance, for example. And oftentimes they have a very difficult time holding on to that amount of money. Why? Because their system hasn't calibrated to hold it.
Yeah.
It's not impossible. And we think about, well, it goes in the bank, but there's the energetics of having what we have in our life. We are energetic beings as well. And we've got to make sure that we have an energetic container that's large enough to hold on to what we say that we want. And as we continue here, Lloyd, I also just want to acknowledge that at the beginning, I said that we would take calls and questions, and I was really excited for that. And my team has let me know that Nicole and the production team has lost connection with the show, and they're not able to log back in. So we're being broadcast fine, but we don't have any access to the production board to do that. So we're just going to have to talk your ear off, and you have to tune back in next month for that. And so
I got tons of parts over here. They can all participate and ask questions if you want, Carrie. Don't you worry.
Do you want to pretend to be a caller, Lloyd? And well, I mean, that might be fun. We have about 10 minutes left before I definitely want to introduce our listeners to something cool that you have coming up that they can dive more deeply in with you. What are some of the common questions that you get from people that you walk through this mature manifestation process with, or even any client stories of things that have healed? I would love to hear.
But before we get to that, I want to ask you something. To make this more practical for everybody, I'm curious, what is something that you are calibrating to receive in your mature manifestation practice?
Ooh, I love that. Well, there's two things. One is my life partner. I am currently upgrading the quality of man that I am allowing into my energy field, and it's taking much longer than I would desire. And yet I'm seeing the evolution moment to moment. And it's interesting because it's like, you know, money and manifestation and business has been something that my system has calibrated to relatively easily and quickly. I do believe that we typically either have more comfort in relationship or in business. It's like we tend to have more alignment or ease in one or the other, and then we can kind of apply what we know in one area to the other and grow there. But there's usually stabilization in one before the other. Yeah. And the other place is wanting to scale my business currently, not only financially, but to be able to reach more people. It's one of my favorite things about this show, for example, that my voice can be heard and can ripple out for more and more people to be supported by this message that streams through me. And so currently I'm calibrating to allowing my products and my team to grow and my systems to expand in order to be able to offer that. And I'm dancing with the resistance and timing of it all.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. And I am so grateful that I get to be behind the scenes of your calibration process and to just watch this evolution from, you remember back in Coronado when you had your first webinar and, you know, I can't remember. Do you remember what is it that you sold your design, your ideal practice on that? And
you
had like 18 sales or something like that. And
yep.
It was so exciting.
88 people signed up. 18
oh
sales.
God.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. And like, you were just like celebrating and you took me out to dinner. We had, what did we have? Not oysters, but mussels at that place.
Oh
my
gosh, they were so
good. In Coronado. And it was just amazing. And then I see you at your first Healers Code Live. And can you imagine if in that moment in Coronado, you had had the same amount of signups and the same dollar figure that you made in your first live event in Coronado? Would your body have been ready for that?
Absolutely not. I would have like combusted at the seams. It would have been so, so insane. I thought I wanted that. I thought I wanted a six-figure launch and all of that. But that version of me wouldn't have been able to tolerate that.
Yeah.
It wasn't until the version of me several years later that integrated the smaller wins and amounts of money and levels of visibility that welcomed the version of me that was capable of getting on stage and having a 100-person audience and having, you know, the six-figure launch. It's like that version of me is, you know, she was not ready until she was ready. She wasn't here until she was here. And funny thing is, I didn't feel ready either. That's another thing I'll share is we often don't feel ready, you know, for what we actually are ready for. And that's where mentorship and, you know, being mindful of who you have around you, you know, do you have people around you that can reflect you back to your highest self and the version of you that's actually operating and coming on board and online versus the old version of you, you know, version 1.0 that you feel like you are. Are the people around you supporting version 2.0 or are they still stuck in the version 1.0? And usually, you know, if the people in your life are playing a small game and they're not waking up and maturing, they're often looking through that lens at you and your life as well. So they can't speak into the future version of you and your potential. So I would really invite you to pay attention to who you invite into your life, who you allow to hold with you the preciousness of your desires, your longings, and your manifestations, because it absolutely has an energetic impact on what you will give yourself permission to step into.
I love that, Carrie. Yeah, I love that. And I'm so grateful and proud to be in partnership and friendship with you to have so that we can create that community together where we support each other in birthing the next versions of ourselves rather than stunting that new version of ourselves so that we can stay with what's comfortable and what we know. We actually require ourselves to continue growing. And if the other person isn't willing to step up, it's like, hey, Lloyd, this version of you is ready. You better get ready, you know? And I do the same with you. And that's one thing I love about our friendship.
Yeah. Me too. Mm-hmm. So we have about 5 minutes left before you ask me that question. I was curious if there is a common question that you get around this that we might bring to life, pretending that there's a caller since we're having tech difficulties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the main questions that I get around manifestation are focusing on the negatives. And we've already talked about that. And then the second biggest question is, well, what do I do with all of these fears? How do I actually shift that energy into something that's constructive rather than something that's forming into a block or resistance? And there's the interesting thing about this work is that it, on the one hand, it's very practical. And on the other hand, it's very unpredictable, very out there, and very intuitive. So I can give you the 4 steps that I always use for everybody, but those 4 steps look wildly different with each person who takes on these 4 steps. And it's basically parts work, which is something that Carrie and I talk about all the time, and I'm sure you've talked about a lot on this show, but it's finding the parts of you that are afraid of mature manifestation, of manifesting your heart's deepest desire by asking questions like Carrie talked about earlier. You know, what's underneath my desire? What am I longing for? What would I manifest if I knew that I would be safe from all hurt, harm, danger, judgment, criticism? So it's finding these parts of you, these tender young parts of you that have these fears around manifesting what your heart desires. And then hearing their story, learning about them, building a relationship with these parts of you, asking them questions. Oh, that's interesting that you learned that if you have a lot of money that you're evil, or if you have a lot of money that people try to take advantage of you. Where did you hear that? Where did you see that? Where did you experience that? And as you ask those questions, your body starts to remember. And you start to feel things. And this is one of the parts that is like wildly different with everybody. As your body remembers, that energy begins to enter your body as if it were the moment that you were going through it. And your parts begin to show you things that you didn't even remember or things that you may not even have known because you disassociated in that time out of survival. And they show you where these fears were birthed. And you don't have to do anything. But just be present, to just listen, to just show your love and compassion to all parts of you by showing up, by listening, by being with them, giving them your time and your energy. What shows a child that you love them more than the words, I love you? Your presence, your time, your energy. And so after you hear their story, you teach them a new truth. I lied when I said it's 4 steps. It's actually 3 steps. You teach them a new truth. The 3rd and final step. Although I'm sure there's a 4th step in there somewhere that will definitely be appropriate for someone.
I was glad because we got to get to this final thing. The show's ending here.
Oh, okay. All right. You teach them a new truth. And this one is organic. This one happens just by doing steps 1 and 2. You teach them the new truth that they're worthy of love unconditionally. They bring all their fears and you still meet them with a loving smile.
Mm. Beautiful. And I know that we rushed through that because we're at the end here. But the good news is that Lloyd's got something exciting coming up. It's part of why I chose to invite him on today, and I'm sure he'll be back for a future episode if he would be willing to join me. But today he has something free coming up that I think is a beautiful way to dive deeper into some of the practices that we talked about today and to just continue playing in his energy. So, Lloyd, can you introduce our listeners to the exciting webinar that you have coming up?
Yes. So I have three webinars coming up actually over the next 3 weeks. They're called Building a Business Around Your Purpose, a spiritually minded coach's guide to having an abundant, impactful, and successful online business. And so I'm doing a free training. The first one is on September 10th. And then there's two more, and I would love to invite everybody to come and join me. It's a live training where we're going to be going over the internal blocks that we have to living our most successful life by standing in our purpose. We're going to identify those blocks and dissolve those blocks. And then we're going to go into the other most important part that many of us spiritually minded people forget about, and that's the strategy, the human external part. And we're going to look at how we can package your light, how we can take your light that is here to impact the world, make this place a better place, and package it in a way that can be consumed and attract the abundance that you desire and give the impact that you are here to give on this planet. So the training is not live yet. You can't even sign up for it yet. It goes, the launch starts on Thursday, but you can sign up for the wait list. And you can go to lloydburnett.com. That's lloydburnett.com/build waitlist. Build waitlist, one word.
Beautiful. So I invite all of you, if you enjoyed Lloyd's wisdom and transmission today, to join him for that. I've done 50 plus online and live events with Lloyd, and I always continue to learn from what he brings through, and I'm really excited for this next round. This is some new stuff, right, Lloyd?
This is some new stuff. It's good. It's juicy. It's delicious.
And my favorite part, my ears perked up when you said online business, like spiritually minded online business, because we're in the age of Aquarius right now. And this is, you know, those of us that aren't using technology with our gifts and we're trying to continue to do it the old way are really going to start being phased out. And so the more awake we can be to the resources that will help us to get our messages out there in a way that is digital and virtual more and more, the better. Not only because of, you know, what's happening with COVID and things shutting down, like the world is quite unpredictable right now. So the more that we can move with the times and evolve the way that we share our gifts is really important. So I know that this will be, you know, an important aspect of having those skills for those of us. You know, when I had my brick and mortar psychotherapy practice, online world felt like, you know what, that's like impossible until I got training and coaching. And now, you know, my practice is 100% digital and virtual, and it's allowed me to help so many more people. So thank you, Lloyd, for joining us today and sharing your gifts.
You're so welcome. And thank you for that last bit of copy that you just gave me. We're in the age of Aquarius, and it's time to get digital and allow technology to take you to the next level. You can send me the bill.
Your will.
Now, okay.
I was just going to say, my team will send over the bill for me writing that for you right here. Since we share an assistant, you know, I'll just let her have that one's on the house.
Exactly.
My goodness. Well, thank you all so much for listening today to another episode of the Awakened Healer Show. We're here every first Tuesday of the month, and we look forward to continuing to learning, playing, and upgrading together. And for now, we'll extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community and connection, and the fires of creativity, passion, and desire. These will carry in our hearts until we are together again. Big hugs to everybody. Take gentle care, and we will see you next month.
Bye.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.